mention the other scriptures that are there as well. But I just thought we'd kick off things a little differently this morning. Jesus was teaching the crowds, and he has shown them and shared many parables. A lot of them are included in the first part of this chapter, a lot of the parables that he shared. And he's been at it all day. The sun is beginning to go down, and he decides to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So his disciples prepare the boats. They get everybody loaded in, and they push off from the shore, leaving the crowd to find their own way home. As they begin to make their way across, Jesus finds a comfortable spot in the stern, and with the rocking of the boat gently goes back and forth, he takes a much-needed rest. Now, everything is going fine. They're making good progress until verse 37. And in verse 37, here we have the storm. It says that a furious squall came up. Now, one might wonder, why in the world would they leave the shore if a storm was brewing and the storm was coming in? But the problem is, you didn't always see these coming. They was very hard to predict. There were really no signs of it until it really got almost right on top of you. The landscape of the Sea of Galilee was such that it just funneled the winds right down onto the water. The Golan Heights would grab those winds and it'd swirl them around in unpredictable patterns and very, very quickly. And one commentator said that it would make waves as high as 10 feet at the shore. And one said it was like a mini hurricane, just a torrent of wind and a tempest of rain and waves. And because those storms were driven by such strong winds, anybody caught on up in the water was caught very unaware, and very quickly they would be in the midst of this storm. But as with all storms, even ones that come on you quickly, there are signs of what's headed your way. You know, the wind shifts, the waves begin to build, the mist begins to fall. You know, so the disciples, you know, as they're making their way across the Sea of Galilee, the storm sends out its harbingers. It sends out the wind and so forth. They see it coming. And so this begins the struggle. Those who had spent their life on the sea, like Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they knew the signs because they had undoubtedly fought these squalls before because they made their living on the Sea of Galilee. So they did what they always did. They began to prepare. They made the ship as secure as possible and then braced for a little bit of a rough ride. Now, let me ask you this. As they make the preparations, where is Jesus at this point? He's asleep. As they feel the wind increase, as they watch the waves rise, do they wake him? No, they don't wake him. They are confident they can handle whatever comes. And as the rain begins to fall and the winds whip up the waves, the disciples pull down the sails, they turn the boat into the wind, and everything stabilizes for a while as they rise and fall with the rhythm of the waves. Things seem under control. So no need to wake Jesus, of course. Just let him sleep. Every once in a while, the wave would come over the side of the boat, but nothing a little bailing wouldn't take care of. But soon, the waves were no longer small. They were rising higher and higher. The boat rises and falls violently now. The wind rips the sails, and the rain is falling in a blinding torrent. One wave after another is crashing over the side, knocking them off their feet. They're frantically bailing water, and now that calm turns to concern. And then concern turns to fear. They're no longer in control. The storm is too great. They have battled the storm with all their knowledge, all their skill, all their strength, and it's too much for them. It's too powerful. It has overwhelmed them, and they're convinced that they will eventually end up in a watery grave. Now, where is Jesus in all this? He's right there. He's sleeping. Can you say sound sleeper? He can sleep through anything. But now at this point, we're a little bit baffled that the disciples see the signs. They know the storm is coming. They watch as the waves increase in size. The wind gets up. And they know they're going to have to face the fury of this storm head on. And no one thinks, hey, let's go get Jesus. I mean, you know, think about that. Why? Why did they wait so long? Because, of course, that's what we would have done, right? The minute we have seen and discovered that the storm was coming, we'd immediately gone to Jesus and say, Jesus, we need your help. Yeah, that's what we've done, right? Well, maybe. But so often we don't. Before we shake our heads in condemnation for the disciples, we do the same thing, unfortunately. Do we not face the storms of life? Do we not struggle against their fury in our own strength with the idea that we can handle it, we're in control, we've got it taken care of? We believe, like the disciples did, that they can handle it. So we don't bother to go to Jesus. We don't bother to ask him for help. We don't seek him out. We don't seek to get him involved. Even when things get a little bit rough, what do? We make adjustments, right? We make adjustments. Oh, we might, a wave or two might knock us off our feet. We might get a bump or a bruise, but nothing we can't handle. Therefore, we just stand strong. We can do this. I got this. And we still don't go to Jesus. It's not until the storm completely engulfs us and threatens to destroy us, not until fear overtakes us and we are desperate, that we finally seek the solution. And who is the solution? The solution is Jesus. And we come to him, and we often say, when we come to him, we often say what the disciples said in verse 38. Look at verse 38. It says, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" When the clouds are dark and the waves are high, and we're convinced at any moment we're going to go down for the last time, we wonder what the disciples are wondering right here. Why isn't Jesus doing something? How can he sleep through this? Is he not aware of what's going on? Get up, Jesus. Wake up, Jesus. Do something. Don't you care at all? Don't you care that I'm drowning? That I'm going down for the last time? If we're honest, we have felt that way. Now let's think through this for a moment. Who said, let's go over to the other side? Look back at verse 35. Who said, let's go over to the other side? Jesus. That's who said, let's go to the other side. Now, who is Jesus? Jesus is God the Son, right? Okay, as God, he is omniscient. That means he knows everything. Am I right in that assumption? Yes. Okay, so if he knows everything, he knows what's going to happen before it happens. History and our lives are completely laid out before him like an open book. As a result, before he stepped in that boat, do you think he knew the storm was coming? Yeah. He knows how furious it's going to be, or do you think it was just going to be a little rainstorm? No, he knew exactly how furious it was going to be. But he also knew he had some time, so he takes a nap. You know, we don't have a problem with that part so far. What causes pause for us is the fact that he remained asleep while the disciples struggled in the storm. And we want to know why. Why did he continue to sleep? But I think a better question is this. Not why did he continue to sleep, but why did it take the disciples so long to ask him for help? That's a better question. So often is the case, Jesus did not just insert himself into the situation. As long as they thought they could handle it, he was going to let them try. He gave them the freedom to navigate those rough seas on their own. That's what they wanted. He was going to let them try. So he was sleeping, but as he was sleeping, I believe he was waiting. He was waiting for them to come to him and ask for help in the storm. See, from the very first drop of rain, they know the storm is coming. Yet, instead of going to Jesus at the first signs of trouble, they wait until they realize they can't tame the storm on their own. As believers, I believe that's the point here that Jesus is trying to make to us as believers. He wants to illustrate the fact that the disciples, nor us, are a match for the storms that life throws at us. See, when the disciples finally do come to the conclusion that they need his help and wake him up, they say that in verse 38. In verse 38, once again, it says, "Teacher, don't you care if we're drowning?" Here they basically blame him for things going from bad to worse. We do the same thing so often. We blame him because our efforts, our own efforts and our own wisdom, our own strength, we can't do it on our own. How come you didn't allow us to steer our own way out of the storm? We blame him for not doing more when we haven't even asked him to do anything. We blame him for not helping when we haven't asked him for help. See, the storms of life rage and they wreak havoc in our lives due to the fact that we don't go to the Lord, who can and will deliver us from what we face and keep it from destroying our lives. Now, here's the question. Could Jesus have awakened and helped them on his own? Absolutely, he could have. But until the disciples were ready to admit they needed help, they were not going to receive help. You know, how many times have you asked somebody, hey, can I help you with that? No, I got it. Been there, done that? How many of you have a hard time receiving help and accepting help? I know everybody's hand should go up. We all have trouble with that because we want to do it on our own. So we don't ask for help. Now, when Jesus is awakened, how does he react? Is he sitting there asleep going, 5 more minutes, just 5 more minutes, please. Oh, just 5 more minutes. No. And when he gets up, does he go, you know what? You wanted to face this storm all on your own? Well, you're on your own. He steps over the side of the boat and walks on the water to the shore and leaves them out there. He doesn't do that either, does he? He does not leave them and abandon them to the wind and the waves. Even though the disciples suffered, even though they struggled believing they didn't need him, the moment that they came to him and asked for help, what does he do? He gives them help. Look at verse 39. It says, he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He rebukes the wind, he rebukes the waves. That command just rings out. And it's peace. Be still. This is the way I learned it. I know my translation says quiet, be still. But I love this so much more. Peace, be still. And when he says that, the winds begins to subside and the waves begin to calm down and the sea is still once again, and it's over. But I want to draw your attention back to something else one more time. Where is Jesus this entire time? He is with the disciples where? In the boat. Which means if he was in the boat, what else was he in? He was also in the storm. The entire time, he was right there. Even though they don't immediately turn to him for help, he never left their side. See, the Lord tells us in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And then again in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. So Jesus is always with us every moment of every day. He never steps away. He never turns away, which means he is always there with us even in the storm, just like he was with the disciples. He's right there. He's ready to help us stand and face the storm. But he's waiting. And he's waiting for you and I to come to him. And he doesn't want us to wait until we've exhausted all of our own effort and done everything that we know to do. He doesn't want us to wait until we're exhausted, overwhelmed, and consumed with fear before we come to him. What he wants us to do, the moment that a storm comes on the horizon, the minute we have any hint that a storm is coming, what does he want us to do? He wants us to come to him immediately. And if we will, he will calm the storm. But it may be a while before the wind and the waves disappear. I want you to look at the phrasing of verse 39 there. It says, then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. It doesn't say he spoke, and immediately everything shut off. Like you were shutting off a faucet, it's gone, it's done. Or shutting off a fan. It took a while for the wind to die down and the boat to stop rocking. Just because we come to him doesn't mean we will not actually have to endure part of that storm. But we'll never have to face it alone. We'll not have to face it in our own strength. See, Jesus is right there to make sure we're not swept away and that we're not destroyed, but that we safely make it to the other side. So once Jesus is awakened, he rebukes the wind and the waves, giving the command, peace be still. Here we discover the serenity of it all. Most see these words as being spoken to the storm, and he does. He speaks that storm, quiet, be still. He speaks to the storm, but there's others that say these probably also was directed toward the disciples as well. After all, they're in a panic. They're frantically come to him. They're shouting to be heard above the howling winds and the crashing waves. And one is shouting this and one is shouting that. There's all this chaos. He can see the fear in their eyes. So when he says, quiet, be still, peace, be still, those words didn't just calm the storm. It also calmed the hearts of the disciples as well. He just says, calm down. Quiet your hearts. Let go of the fear. I'm here. Relax. It's okay. Let your hearts be at peace. See, both the storms and the hearts of the disciples needed to be stilled, and the presence of Jesus called both to be a reality. The sea calms along with the disciples because Jesus' presence brings serenity in the storm. Jesus' presence brings serenity in the storm. See, once they invited Jesus into the situation, asked him to deal with the storm, peace came to their hearts. And it came even though the storm still raged around them. Because remember, it took a while for it to subside. Even before the wind and waves disappeared. And if we come to Jesus, we'll experience the same peace, that same serenity, even as we face our storms. He will calm us. Now that the disciples were looking out over a calm sea, Jesus asked them these questions in verse 40. He says, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Well, we all know why the disciples were afraid, right? They believed that they were fixing to go to a watery grave. That's why they were afraid. And of course, Jesus knows this is what they're thinking. But what he's asking is this. Don't you trust me? Don't you know who I am? That I'm right here? And there is no storm that is too big for me to handle. No storm that I won't deliver you from by taking you through it. Storms will come and storms will go, guys. But I'm here through it all. So why did you struggle so long on your own? Do you not know that I can not only calm the storm without, but also the storm within? I can cause you to walk among the crashing waves. I can empower you to stand against the wind with a calm assurance, unshaken by what's happening around you. I can and will do these things. As I stand with you and beside you. If you'll come to me, I will rise and I will calm you and the storm, taking you safely to the smooth waters beyond. So he says, next time, remember that. Next time, remember that. And don't wait so long before you come to me for help. And so once he encourages them to trust a little more fully, I can see Jesus going back and taking a seat on the cushion where he was in the stern. And then the disciples have a conversation among themselves. Look at verse 41. He says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. It says they were terrified. That's the same word that we read in the Christmas story. When the angel appears to the shepherds, they were terrified. It has more to do with this overwhelming awe. Not just an ordinary awe, but an overwhelming awe. This is beyond us kind of awe, an unsettling, jaw-dropping kind of awe. That's what we're talking about. See, they had seen Jesus do a lot of miracles. They'd seen him cast out demons, but they had seen other people do that as well. If you read throughout the Bible, there were many different people that performed miracles. They were priests that went around to cast out demons in their day. So these things they had seen other people do. But here is Jesus, and he speaks. Man's nature. Nature obeys his very word. And this is why they stand in awe. This is probably the first time they have a glimpse of the fact that Jesus is not just a man. That he was indeed more than that. Maybe perhaps he is God in the flesh. And if he's God in the flesh, he's definitely one that can be trusted, one worth turning to in good times and in bad. And if Jesus is God, and he is, then we can do the same thing. We can come to him and we can trust him, knowing that whatever storms that we face, whatever comes our way, he's got us. He's got us. If we see a storm approaching, we need to take a tip from the disciples. We don't need to do what they did. A lot of times we read the scriptures and go, do what they did. This is not one of them. You know, do not go do likewise. That's the thing. We need to take it from not do what they did. We need to go to Jesus immediately. Let him deal with it. And he may speak and dissipate the storm before it ever gets near us. That's what I pray for. That's the part I like. I like for him to do that. If I can put in my order, Jesus, just don't let the storm come at all. That's what I like. I like him to do. But he doesn't always do that. He may just prepare us and strengthen us so that we can sail through the storm with that peaceful assurance that Jesus is with us. And he'll strengthen us. And he will not let the storm overwhelm us. And he will not let it destroy us. The question is, why would Jesus allow a storm to come in the first place? You know? Well, if we go through the storm, what do we got to do? We got to trust. We got to exercise our faith. When we exercise our faith, what happens? Our faith grows. So sometimes God brings the storm so that he can show us more of who he is, so he can strengthen our faith, so that that relationship that we have with him will become stronger and greater and deeper. You may be in the middle of a storm right now. And it may be something that you didn't see coming. It may not be any fault of your own. It's beyond your control. Circumstances just came upon you. You may be in a storm that is totally your fault. You know, it may be that you've made some poor choices, made some sinful choices. The consequences have hit you hard. But no matter the reason you're in a storm, right now the waves are high, the wind is strong, the rain is falling, and the sky is dark. You're not sure where you're going to end up or even if you're going to make it through. You may have been struggling. You may have been struggling for a long time against the storm. But I know two things about struggling against the storm. One, the storm is too strong and it's winning, and that Jesus is the solution. Those are the two things I know about battling a storm. The storm is too strong and it's going to win, and Jesus is my solution. So he wants us to come to him. See, he's waiting for us to give up. How many of you like to give up? I give up. How many of you like to just take up the little white flag and go, okay, I'm done, you know? Ken's always ready to give up. No, we don't like that. We don't like waving the white flag. We don't like to admit that we can't handle it, but that's what we have to do. We have to give up. Give it to him. He's waiting for us to stop trusting ourselves and start trusting him. And if we trust him, if we walk with him, even in the storm, peace is going to be ours. See, confidence in Jesus will quiet our fears and reassure us that we are in his hand. And he will indeed take us and protect us and guide us in the storm, through the storm, and deliver us from the storm. See, Jesus is in the boat with us, just like he was in the boat with the disciples. He knows the storm has come. He knows how strong it is. He knows how to navigate it. And he knows the way through. And he says, come. Come to me. Follow me. Trust me. Even in the storm, and everything will be okay. All will be well. The only question is, will we? Will we? Now, that doesn't mean we won't get a few bumps and bruises along the way. Okay? We may get a few bumps and bruises along the way as we go through the storm. You know, we hit a big wave, we're gonna bounce around a little bit. But Jesus will make sure that nothing bad happens to us. He takes us and does his will in our lives. Because what does the scripture say? Everything works for what? The good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Even the storm. Even the storm. So will we trust Jesus in the middle of the storm? That's the question. The disciples, took them a while to give up and give it to Jesus and just trust him. Hopefully, it won't take us as long. Will we come to Jesus in that storm? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you and thank you that we are never, ever, ever alone. No matter what is raging around us, you've got us. So, Lord, why do we wait so long to come to you? Why do we do that? Because we're stubborn, we're willful, we're prideful. We don't like to admit that we can't handle things, that we can't deal with life on our own. And, Lord, we can't. We can't. We need you. We need you to guide us and direct us. We need you to take us through those hard times. We even need you to direct us during the good times. Father, we need you to direct our path, promised, and we know you will. Forgive us when we don't come to you. Forgive us when we struggle for so long, needlessly, when all we need to do is come to you and you'll give us that peace. Yes, the storm may continue to rage. Circumstances may be bad. It may look dark. But Lord, you will always take us to the sun on the other side of those clouds. Whether it be here that you deliver us from the storm and the storm passes, or whether you bring us home and you keep us from any storm ever again, you will still deliver us every single time. No question about it. And Lord, I want to praise you for those times that you just speak and the storm just disappears, just like here in our scriptures. Thank you for those times that you remove me from the storm. I praise you for that. But Lord, help me also praise you in the midst of the storm. That's hard to do for me, because so often all I can see is the wind and the waves and the rain and the dark clouds, and I cannot see past the storm. And so often I can't even see you in the storm. But Lord, I know you're there. Just show me your presence when I'm in the midst of that storm. Knowing that you're there, calm my heart, calm my fears, and show me what I need to do to make it to the other side. Strengthen me and prepare me for that. Stand beside me, holding me up. Lord, I know that's what you promised to do, and so help me to hold on to that. And I thank you that you're always there in a moment. And even when I don't come to you right away, you don't turn me away when I ask for help. But you embrace me. And you say, peace be still. In Jesus' name.